Welcome back to Misunderstood. Yes, I know. We've been at this. The fifth time I've done this intro, the fifth time we tried to record this, we've only gotten as far as 2 minutes. I'm here today with a brother, a person I consider a friend, and probably my closest friend, who's younger than me. Last episode, we were speaking to Mako, who was speaking about leaving her post, leaving a role as head girl, sharing her experience. And today, if we actually end the conversation, we're going to be speaking to Kia. Introduce yourself. What's your story? Who are you? Tell us. Tell the world.
My name is Kia Motlame, and I am the second prefect of St. John's College for 2024.
How do you feel being able to say those words?
Still hasn't sunk in, to be honest. It's a weird experience, but it's also very humbling. It's very nerve-wracking. But I'm happy.
One of the things that I was going to poke at you is the idea of the constant battle that you had with yourself, with leadership, prior to putting yourself on the ballot and prior to completing your CV and submitting everything. What was that caused by and what was that a result of?
I mean, to be honest, I've always felt like I have good leadership skills, and I have always wanted to make a change in St. John's in some way. So it all started in the Matric Dance Committee when I just put my hand up for deputy. It wasn't something I really wanted to do, but I was told to put my hand up. And when I got it, I was like, okay, I have the position now, so let me actually make a difference. Let me try be a leader. So that gave me the space to actually excel in leadership skills. And that's when I kind of had an idea that maybe I do want to make a change in the school. Deputy head boy. I feel like I could make a big difference in that role. And I've had previous leaders who were in that position who I really looked at as role models. And they've been part of the reason why I decided to raise my hand. But I feel like the Matric Dance Committee really helped me push myself and put myself out there.
The stupid question is, how much of that do you think was shaped by people telling you you should be in the role? Because obviously at our school, there's always the assumption that the people who are head and deputy of the Matric Dance Committee will in turn be head and deputy of the school. And what communication and feeling did you get when people said, because you've essentially asserted yourself in one role, that you have to assert yourself in the other?
To me, it just felt like that people believed in me and they saw something in me that I clearly didn't see at the moment. So it was really exciting, but really humbling in a way, because it's like, okay, people do see me as a leader, and if they feel like that I can make a change, then maybe I should put myself out there. Maybe I'll end up believing it as well.
I want to ask you a question. When you were in grade 8 and you looked at little Gia when he walked into the school, do you think he envisioned himself being a prefect and being essentially one of the people at the top of the rank?
Little Gia did have hope, like, because we had Daniel Bellum as our second prefect in that year, and he's literally 90% of the reason why I feel like second prefect is for me, because I just felt like he was a reflection of me in a way. I could see myself growing into a person like him. So it was really, I had hope, but I wasn't really expecting it because I was still young, you know. I was just focused on remove Call of Duty. But it was really, it was a nice experience, I think, like, to be honest. But I had hope, but I didn't really envision this for myself.
I like the idea that you were at least hopeful because of the people that came before you. Now having the position, right, what's your feeling about trying to be that person for the next remove, grade 8, who comes in and looks at you and tries to envision the leadership role that you hold? Are you stepping in it to be their mentor? Are you stepping in it to be an example? Or are you simply stepping in it because you think at this present moment you're the best to do the job?
I think it's the first two reasons. I don't think I am the best at the job because I haven't necessarily done the job, so I can't really know if I am the best or not.
Yeah.
Because I believe that our grade has very strong leaders, and anyone who could have gotten the role would have done an amazing job, in my opinion. But I feel like I want to be a role model 100%, but also just want to make a change and make a difference as best as I can. I just want to do my best in the role, and hopefully the outcome is really positive.
Yeah, I mean, you're still very young to the role and where you stand at the moment, but what's your vision for 2024? What is, if you could have Kia's plan, what would it be? And if you could have your own goal that you would want to set and complete, what would that be?
Funny thing is, Kia doesn't have a goal yet. It's something I have been thinking about, but I just can't quite pick out what it is that stands out to me yet. So it is something that I have to think about. But I feel like myself and the prefect body for 2024 will find something that really stands out to us, and we'll just try our best to tackle it. But right now, there is no set goal.
If there's no set goal, what are the values that Kia holds as a person?
I believe in inclusivity. I believe in being a role model for people. Someone that people can look up to, someone that people feel comfortable coming to. I feel like that's like my number one goal. I want people to feel comfortable to come to me with issues that they feel, and I want to help navigate those issues as best as I can, because obviously I can't make everyone happy, because not everyone wanted me in the role, to be realistic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have people who dislike me in the role, and I'm going to have people who are proud of me. But my main goal is just to be the best I can to people who wanted me there and the people who didn't want me there. Because whether they like it or not, I am here now. Sadly for them, or happily for them. It's up to them to decide. But I just really want to try my best in the role. And hopefully, by the end of my term, people can look back and reflect on my position and say, wow, he did a good job.
I'm going to ask you a hard question. Looking back at, obviously, this year's leadership, which I was a part of, but I still want you to speak honestly. What do you think the biggest shortcoming has been, and even previous leaderships that have come in your 4 years at St. John's, what do you think their biggest shortcoming has been, and how do you intend to fix that, or potentially even not have it be a shortcoming in your own year?
I feel like the biggest shortcomings with previous prefect groups is just the connection between them. I feel like we don't have to like each other to work together, and I feel like previous prefects haven't understood that. And they put their feelings before the job, so it's just, you can tell that this prefect body isn't strong enough together. And I feel like a prefect body should consist of different minds and different personalities. And you may not like each other, but when you come to the work, put your differences aside and come together to make a big change.
I mean, that's a fair take, and I think you hold some truth in that, having reflected and obviously having been part of the prefect body. But in your specific role, playing deputy, you've got a big task in people questioning who you are, independent of what your head of school does. And my question to you is, what is your feeling? I don't necessarily think playing under him, because I don't think that's how your roles have existed, but playing next to someone and having to be such a massive support mantle, how do you feel about that? And was that always the intention, to never be in the limelight and never have to be the leader up front? Or do you think that's just a consequence of the role that you've taken?
Being deputy means you're always second to head boy, and that's something I've understood from the beginning. And to be honest, for me, it's not necessarily about the limelight, but it's just about doing the job. And if I do get recognition for it, then that's good. I'll be happy. But sometimes I do understand that I'll have to do the job and not get recognized for it. And that's like, it's really okay to me. As long as I've really done the change, that's all that matters to me.
I mean, fair. I mean, I think you take an interesting step and an interesting role, in the sense of, you're not someone who's in it for the tie, who's in it for the outcome. You simply saying that you want to serve, and I think it shows true in even how you communicate your belief in the role. Now, my thing to student politics and to where you stand is, the world has become extremely divisive, and boys' schools have been put in the spotlight as of recently. What's your feeling to identity politics at boys' schools? And in particular, what's your feeling towards people engaging with identity politics? And is it something that schools need to push more of, or need to give up on?
Yeah.
Tough question.
Damn it. Look, I'm going to just be honest right now. I think it is something schools should push, but don't push too much, because when you push an agenda on people, they tend to push hate back instead of actually understanding. And I feel like we've seen that in the past, especially during like talks that used to happen at school.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you're trying to educate people, but if you're going to educate people every single week about something, and then it's really not going to be helpful at all. It's just going to turn into something toxic, and it won't be anything that people learn from. So I do think that they should push it a bit, but not too much, because then it's really not going to help at all.
And in a space where a lot of people are reacting to identity politics, how do you make those conversations more common and more easy, more palatable? Because I hear what you're saying in the idea of people are going to push back as a result of being forced these things continually. But the question then is that if you're always afraid of pushback, do you ever really get any change?
I think you just need to make them a bit more casual. It shouldn't be something where you all have to go to M3 and you're going to have this talk and you don't have a choice about it. It should be something more casual where during Tita, someone just brings it up. Just have someone bring it up and be like, oh, did you guys hear what happened? Wada. What do you think about this? And then people actually express their opinions, because I feel like in a space like assemblies, people are scared to say their own truth because they're going to get backlash from the crowd or from the speaker. So I feel like it should happen in smaller groups, because I feel like the less people there are, the more comfortable people are.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's like the best possible solution to all of this.
Fair. Before I go further, I want to ask you, just in terms of what you think's defined you up until this moment, what experience has given you the most light, energy, and has made you who you are today, and hopefully are going to be in the role?
I actually don't know. I genuinely don't know what experience has led me up to the person I am today. It's just my everyday interactions. You know, there's nothing like big or spectacular that's shaped me to the person I am today. I just feel like it's my relationships, my family, my friends, school. It's just shaped me to the person I am today. And there's no like particular moment that just was like, oh, this is gear.
Yeah. No, fair, I hear you. And just going back to what, like, identity politics, you're in an interesting place because you go to an all-boys school, and I think, I don't necessarily believe you're liberal than most, more liberal than most, but you're in a liberal mind space and mindset from what I've heard from you. How do you get that mind space to be shared between individuals? But also, how do you bring individuals who are aliens to the space to also share their experience? And by aliens, I genuinely mean people of different identity groups. But I think in this instance, more specifically, girls' schools, women's staff, so on and so forth.
Luckily at St. John's, we do have affinity groups, which are spaces where people of different races, cultures, sexual identities, sexual orientation, can meet up and talk. So I feel like they shouldn't be compulsory, but I feel like they should be advertised more, because I feel like people don't actually know about them. They don't know where they happen. They don't know what actually goes on during those meetings. So I feel like that is the best possible solution, just getting people to attend affinity groups, and that way they get to express different ideas and you get to see how different minds work in a way.
Fair. I mean, my thing is, and I think it's very different because I've led one of the affinity groups and I've engaged with them regularly, is the idea that people think advertisement is the reason why people don't enter the room. And I think there's some truth in what you're saying, that people don't know what's happening. People don't know the conversations that are happening inside the walls. But some people just simply don't care. And I don't know if not caring is enough to label them as people who are anti-progress, or to simply accept them as people who are simply okay with being independent of what the politics are saying. And what's been your feeling and sentiment about the conversations that happen in those rooms, Do you ever feel like they actually lead to change, they actually lead to people listening, or do you feel like those are just conversations that are happening between people who so happen to share a similar struggle?
I think they have moments where they're actually really impactful, but however, I feel like 80% of the time they just talk to fill up time. There's no like genuine interactions that actually help make a change.
Yeah,
because I've attended, well, 2 out of 3, and like 90% of the time I just ask myself, I could have done something better during this time. And I feel like that's the problem, and I feel like the affinity group leaders need to actually look back and actually set out a structure of what they plan to do during the year, because sometimes they just come and fill up time because, oh, I have affinity groups now, I have to run to my meeting.
Yeah,
so I feel like that's what happens most of the time. But the truth is, some people just genuinely don't care, and you can't really change people sometimes. It's just how they are, it's how they built, and you really can't change them. So obviously you can't force people to attend a space they don't want to attend, but also affinity groups kind of do feel like a waste of time at times, because I've had, like, if you look at like affinity groups in the beginning, they tend to be full starting of the year, they're full, but every week less people come.
Yeah,
because they realize that, oh, this is just a waste of time.
Yeah,
it's just a waste of time. So my one of my plans as second prefect is to make school prefects attend affinity groups, but I feel like instead of making it like every week, it should be once a month, because every week is a stretch, because every week it just gets worse in my opinion. And I'm really sorry to the affinity group leaders, but they're not really making an impact. And I feel like there is more they could do, but right now it's really just still, there's nothing going on there.
My follow-up to that is, you having said now that they don't make an impact, or that their impact is very limited, do you feel like they've become spaces that the school gets to advertise and gets to say that's progressive? Or do you actually feel like the progress that has been said to have been made is actually felt by the students?
Please repeat your question.
Do you feel like the progress at the moment is for everyone else within the public eye? Or do you feel that the progress is actually felt by the students who are in the school?
I think the progress is felt by minority of people in the school. I feel like the only people that feel like they're making a progress are the leaders, and maybe like 2 to 3 people that usually attend every week and they feel like something's changing.
Yeah.
But personally, and clearly majority of people, because people don't end up attending anymore, feel like there isn't really happening, nothing happening. So I feel like, I wouldn't say advertise, but I feel like if they have a more proper structure,
yeah,
and people will actually end up talking about them, because I don't think it should be something where you go to Amphi and be like, you guys should come here. It should be something that people attend willingly and they feel like, oh wow, I feel different, let me go tell my friend about it, and the friend is like, oh, I'll come next week, and bring your friend, and that way, that's when the affinity groups to actually be full and will make an impact. But I feel like in order for people to actually come, they need to start small, make an impact with a small group of people first, and more people will come, because people end up talking about it, and I feel like that's the best advertisement they can get.
My question to you then is that when education becomes such an important factor in spaces that are meant to be safe for specific minority groups, do you not fear at times that those same minorities could feel like they're being overshunned for a bigger reason? For example, Black students being taught about Blackness, but having experienced it, lived it, and felt it on a daily basis.
You just need to stop pushing an agenda. Like, genuinely, I feel like people just force an agenda onto people, and that's not what you're meant to do. Let people, some people have to live through it in order to learn, and that's just the sad reality. But some people can be educated about it in a more peaceful way. This thing of pushing, oh, you're Black, don't go to America, you're gonna get shot, type of stuff, it's just out of pocket. Like, it genuinely is, because yes, it does happen to a lot of people, it genuinely does, but people need to stop pushing this agenda on people that makes people fear life, fear of living life and experiencing. Because genuinely, sometimes you have to experience hardship in order to grow and mature as a person. So I feel like pushing agendas on people really doesn't help. But also getting overshined, whatever the word is, by a majority of people is a bit of a stretch, because I understand like there's like spaces like Women's Forum for example, it's not only open to women, right? Yeah. But if a lot of men come, shouldn't that be a positive than a con? Because then men actually learn about how women actually feel and ways to make a difference, because men are the problem realistically. So I feel like having more men than women is more impactful, because then men actually learn about their actions, they can speak to their boys and accountability and all that stuff.
Fair. I think I didn't think about it like that, because I think I've probably seen it as a negative point of view if there's more people in the room that aren't like you, because you might be diluting from it. But I guess you say, because part of their role is that, it should be seen as something that is valuable. My last question to you before we move away from school is, at the moment, how do you feel about your school? Do you feel that they're liberal? Do you feel that they're conservative? Do you feel like they're trying to strike a balance in between the middle? What do you feel the general consensus is and your feeling is of being between those walls and trying to understand where they think and where they currently place themselves?
You're asking me questions that are gonna make me lose my time if I even get it. I think they're trying to be in the middle, but in the best way possible. Because I feel like they're really trying to be open, but I feel like the whole factor of culture that came 125 years before us is just there, and people believe in culture more than being open-minded. That's what I believe the school is. They believe more in culture, and some of that culture is holding them back from actually being a progressive school. I genuinely do think they're trying their best, and they have been quite evident in that. But this whole concept of culture is kind of holding us back from being progressive. But I do think that right now we are in a good spot. Could we be better? Yes. But right now I feel like it's good enough for people to feel comfortable to go to St. John's. And I also feel like St. John's sometimes isn't really the problem. It's the people that go to the school that make it seem like the school is not progressive, because we do have people who are very close-minded and have opinions. And, you know, boys' schools just have this culture of just saying whatever you want to say in the open, and nothing, there's no really consequences for that. And you never really know who you offend. So I don't really think it's the school's problem. I feel like it is the students most of the time. But I do feel like St. John's is heading to a good path.
I mean, that's a good PR response. Nah, I'm kidding. I think you genuinely believe that, and I feel that, because I think it's a bit different to what I've always thought about where the school is. I feel like at times I feel like it's way too liberal, and at times I feel like it's conservative, but it's probably because of the proximity to the issue, to my own identity. So when it's racism, I'm like, yeah, we must show them. And then when it's like something else, I'm like, yeah, we must just show. So I hear what you're saying. Before we close off, the same question that I'm going to ask to everyone. You're kind of in the lucky group of people who are turning 18 early in 2024. You're going to have the ability to vote. It's a question of whether or not you are voting. And even if you aren't voting or you are voting, my question then is, who should people choose to lead them? What should be their thinking? What should be their reasoning? And then what's your message to the youth, to the people sitting in 2024, trying to figure themselves out, trying to figure what their politics are, what their impact can be? Yeah.
Regarding the voting, I think you should vote for whoever you feel like is going to make a change. And that's genuinely the best answer I can give you, because people are going to sell you false dreams and hopes. But the best choice you can do for yourself is follow your heart or your gut, whatever you trust more. If you believe someone, then vote for them. That's really all you can do. If you believe someone's going to make a change and the country's going to get better because of them, then vote for them. And the message to the youth is, life is rough.
It's just life is rough.
Like, life is tough, but I promise you will get through it. There's going to be a lot of obstacles in your way, a lot of haters, a lot of supporters, a lot of sleepless nights. But you will get through it, and I promise you it will have a positive outcome in the end.
And before we outro, what's your message to everyone? What's the thing that you're holding true? What's the thing that's going to lead you into 2024 and into the future?
If you believe you can do it, do it.
I think that's it, man. Short and sweet, and it's simple, and I feel it. I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Because this journey is going to be a long one. We're hearing a few great young minds in the making. Oh, the question that I did forget to ask you, which I guess I said we're going to close like three times, is
publicity.
Is student politics in your future after high school, or do you want to wait and see until next year?
I think I should wait to see until the end of my term, and I think that'll determine whether this is something for me or something not. But currently, no. I just don't see myself being a politician or wanting to lead outside of the school, because I feel like in order for me to want to lead something, I have to have a connection to it.
Yeah.
That's why I want to lead for St. John's, because I genuinely have a connection with the school. But do I think I'll have a connection with the country? That's also speaking if I go for president or something like that. But the university, I feel like I need to just have that connection with something in order for me to want to make a difference in it.
Nah, fair. I actually feel that. I feel that quite a lot. Well, once again, I do want to say thank you. Thank you to if you've made it this far. I mean, this is part of the series. This is kind of episode two of the series. To everyone out there, I hope you are enjoying being youthful. If you're in matric, I hope you are studying hard and you're not stressed. And just to everyone who listens, everyone who wants hope, who wants a voice, who wants faith in a system, I hope you can see yourself and see clarity in the future. And hopefully this shows you that there is hope. There is a future. The youth is bright. Once again, this has been Misunderstood.